May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect me from any kind of wujub and pride and any kind of bragging.
But since you are requesting it for those people who cannot make it, for those people who feel that we do not have the money and the finances, how are we going to be able to make it for Hajj? Or in our lives we will never be able to see Makkatul Mukarrama or Madina Tayyiba. Then what I wish to tell them is that they should never lose hope, because those who go for Hajj, they don't go on the strength of their wealth, they don't go on the strength of their properties, they don't go on the strength of their incomes. So that is where that first Hajj of mine comes, that you have requested it, now I've very reluctantly. What happened is that I was teaching Kitabul Hajj to the students at the madrasa where I was teaching. At that time the salary was only 90 rands, and of that I was paying 10 rands towards light and water in those days in the 70s. And we were always in debts at the end of the day. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reward my wife that she used to make an effort to sew some dresses and make ends meet. Nevertheless, I had 5 rands in my pocket, and after teaching the Kitabul Hajj, I made dua to Allah Ta'ala and I said, Ya Allah, what is the enjoyment in teaching the Hajj Kitab when I haven't seen Makkatul Mukarrama, I haven't made Hajj myself. I do not know what the Hajj is all about except from that which I have read in the Kitabs. So you don't take people to Hajj on the strength of their wealth or the property or on the gold or silver. If that was the case, every rich person of the world would have been a Haji. Yet so many people come to Jeddah and they carry on, but they can't make it to Makkah Mukarrama. So I said, Ya Allah, you take with your ihsan, with your fazal, with your kindness, and with your qudrat. So make the intizam, make the arrangement for me. But I am not going to extend my hands before any person. Directly or indirectly also, I am not going to ask anybody. Because there are many ways of asking. A person can ask directly or he can ask indirectly. Indirectly, the person can say that, look, I'm a Maulana, but I haven't been able to go for Hajj. Is there anybody that wants to send for Hajj Badal? Now that's also one way of asking. So I said, Ya Allah, I'm not going to ask anybody, I'm asking you. You are going to create the conditions. Allah Ta'ala's fazal and ihsan, the very next morning, the principal of the school there in that little town, he was a non-Muslim principal, Mr. Narendis. So he came over to the house early morning, 6 o'clock. I asked him, Mr. Narendis, are you sure you got up on the right side of the bed today? Because I used to meet him at the madrasa where we had the madrasa classes were held at the school in the afternoons. So he was good, I was good to him, he was good to me, and we had no problem. So when he came, I was very surprised that 6 o'clock in the morning, so he used to call me Maulana. I said, Maulana, I've got a job for you, and I want you to assist and help me. I asked him, what is the job like? He says, one of my teachers is going on long leave, and it's coming close to the end of the year, it's just 3 months or 4 months left, and I want you to teach that class. I said, Mr. Narendra, I am a standard 9 failure. I don't even have a metric certificate. I haven't done any teaching course. And I cannot do justice to that. So, and I'm not even worthy and capable of that. And what little geography and history I may have done, I've already forgotten everything. So he says, no, I'm not joking. It's a very serious matter and I really want you to take that class. I said, but how am I going to manage? He said, it's just class 1 I will give to you. What do you have to teach in class 1? 1 plus 1 equals 2. He says, I will guide you along. And then he tells me, I said, but I have to perform the Zohar prayers at 1 o'clock. He says, that's no problem also. 12:30, you are off, finish, you can go. Anything I told him, he found an answer for it. So I truly believe that now that was from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's side. So I told him I have to ask the trustees. When I spoke to the trustees, they said, it doesn't affect your madrasa teaching, so what does it cost us? So those days we used to wear those sherwanis, those long coats. And I used to wear a jina cap in those days. So I put on that long sherwani and I went to the school, and those same children who used to come in the afternoon, the Muslim children of that class, whom I used to make assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah in the afternoons. So in the morning I went to the class and I said, good morning children. Now they were surprised too, that how did Maulana land here in the class this morning? So he gave me a class 1. The salary that I got for those 4 months of teaching was sufficient to go for Hajj, and not only Hajj, it was even sufficient from there. I went to India and I came back. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ihsan was so much. Then again, the second time, now you have touched a chord, which now let me complete it. The second time, the wife said that I am also desirous of going for Hajj. I said, if you desire us for going on Hajj, then we don't beg, we don't extend our hands before anyone, we don't ask directly or indirectly any kind of assistance and help from anyone. Make Salatul Hajat, get up for Tahajjud and pray and beg of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and He will create the conditions. But you must be prepared to part with what you love dearly if you really want to go for Hajj. So she asked me a question, what do you mean? I said, what I mean is this, that from here now we will be going down to Durban, because we were in one town and from there we were coming down to Durban to take up the position here at the Jamiat office. Maulana Ansari, the Rahmatullah Alayh, was insisting that I leave and come down. So I said, we are going to go down. So whatever we have, we sell. Even jewelry, or the fridge, or furniture, or anything that you have, you must be prepared to sell and part with it if you want to go for Hajj. Thereafter, when we come back, then we will again buy, try and get old furniture, pay slowly. But that is not a problem. Inshallah, when we come back, we will start off a new life. But are you prepared to do that? She said, yes, I am. So we put a markup on everything that we possessed, furniture, anything that we possessed. A friend of mine, he has passed away, may Allah Ta'ala fill his grave with Noor. He was going past the town and he stopped there. And he said, Maulana, I believe you are going for Hajj and you are selling everything. I said, yes, that's what I'm doing. He said, I'm prepared to buy everything. He said, at what price? I asked him, what price? He said, whatever price you say, I'm prepared to buy. So whatever price I quoted, he added it on, he made one check and he gave it to us. And he said, my truck will come and take all these goods away and you can go. So we went for Hajj. And that Hajj, because we were on a very tight budget, believe me, we slept under a staircase in the old Kogir Hotel. Under the staircase there was a room where there was one bed that had been put in there. So the wife and I, we used to jump onto the bed from the outside and pull the door. And we used to use those communal toilets and showers, but we wanted to make Hajj. So we were not concerned. And that time people didn't know me too as Maulana Yunus Patel. Most of them did not know me. So the fact is that there was no problem. I was very, very happy as long as I got Hajj. I don't think a person will easily sleep in such conditions today. But it was under the staircase, and where they had their brooms and all other things, they took it out and they put a bed there. And we had to go in and then pull the door. Nevertheless, that Hajj we made. When we returned, then that person who had bought off all the goods, he met me at the airport and he said that, Maulana, before you go and buy furniture, you come to my place and have a look, because I sell and I deal in second-hand furniture. When I went there, all the items and all the stuff which we had sold to him, he still had it stored in his warehouse there. And he said, take everything back and whatever you can afford to pay monthly, you pay me 200 rand, 100 rand, 300 rand, whatever it is. But you take all your stuff back. Alhamdulillah, I paid him every cent back, although it took more than a year. But everything was paid back, and Allah Ta'ala gave us all the stuff again, all the goods again, and Allah Ta'ala blessed us with the Hajj. May Allah Ta'ala make those Hajj maqbool and mabroor. That is, so the lesson that I give to the listeners is that don't look at wealth and property and say that the person only goes if he has so much. Allah Ta'ala will create the conditions. You must create the thirst and the love for those Mubarak lands.